This is Leo for KTWH. It is the 23rd of January, Tuesday, when I have a chance to sit down here for our second Wandering Nature News of 2024. I've got Michaela Rice, the Gooseberry Falls State Park naturalist, with us today. Good cloudy afternoon to you, Michaela.
Yeah, you as well.
We're in the midst of another warm stretch after, well, I guess there was 10, 11 days there of actual winter. I don't know if you got stressed by that.
I did a little because we were pretty cooped up, me and my little dog that can't do wind and cold like it was the last time, since the last time I saw you.
You have a little one that's a wee sensitive to the wind chills?
Yes, he evolved for desert conditions, not northern Minnesota conditions.
Well, they have nippy evenings in the desert, but nothing, I suppose, like what we've got.
No, yeah. Not wind in negative degrees.
Yeah. Well, we didn't accumulate a very deep snowpack, that is for sure. So the folks that realized that they had to cancel the John Bear Grease probably are feeling a little vindicated. No real significant snowfall in the forecast, maybe even some rain this week. So any general observations about the phenology you expect in this kind of weather setup, this El Nino winter?
It's just been so unpredictable. I really don't know what my thoughts are about it. It's so unpredictable.
Yeah. And if we can fairly say that despite it being an El Nino year, that it's the most El Nino of El Ninos, and there is a finger of climate change on the scales, I think, and it just makes me think, okay, this is what we have to look forward to in some ways, is the unpredictability element getting bigger over time.
Absolutely. I think we'll keep exploring that theme every time we get together, because it is that unpredictability. Patterns are not really occurring the way that we have seen them occur before. So
now this is your second winter at the park, Michaela, I'm trying to recall.
Yep.
Yeah. And you were telling me before we started that some really heavy duty, high in the sky, big bird activity.
Yes. I've been seeing a lot of eagles the last few weeks, and it's not necessarily that I'm even seeing them on the side of the road like I was last winter. The deer roadkill is so small compared to last year, but I'm just seeing them flying around, landing in trees, sitting in trees. And so we're getting to bald eagle mating season. They'll start mating, finding their pair, possibly from last year. But if their mate didn't make it back or something, or sometimes they do get usurped by a bigger and better mate. But that stuff seems to be going on. Their activity levels are just, I'm noticing that they're really high right now.
Are juveniles becoming young adults on the scene who are kind of mixing up territoriality? Who's going to have what territory and what nests will be reclaimed by the eagles that built them originally?
Yeah, I don't know if they take up to 4 or 5 years to even really become sexually mature. So I'm not sure how many of those eagles, you know, are really in that age category right now. One thing that was really interesting, kind of this phenology thing that we're talking about, is that usually bald eagles, the juveniles and the adults, will all kind of congregate in areas of open water, you know, typically in Minnesota. And that congregation didn't even really happen until like this last cold spell in January. So the Raptor Center actually was just able to finally release a batch of juveniles because they were waiting for all the adults to congregate. Juveniles actually use adults to still learn how to hunt and to make it through those first few years.
They still need their mentorship.
Yeah. So I'm not seeing a whole lot of juves right now. So I'm guessing they're congregated with some adults, and the ones that are competitive enough to be breeding and defending territory are the ones that I'm seeing out kind of, you know, in their habitat right now.
So to remind me then, the congregation patterns start when there's limited open water, and was unlimited open water for a long time.
Exactly. So they didn't have to congregate to find food, and therefore releasing an eagle without that group nearby. Yeah, they can't introduce them to a group to learn that way.
Sure. So. Well, is the congregation at Gooseberry at the mouth of the river, or where?
No,
where are we talking?
Yeah, typically it's more in the Minnesota River Valley, along the St. Croix.
But
you know,
those
throughout
are the
Minnesota.
Big, those are the and the Mississippi for sure. I've seen those aggregations of lots of eagles. I just meant you're seeing eagle activity. I assume at Gooseberry, or are you talking about in general on your drives back and forth?
Yeah, at Gooseberry and then along 61 is where my observations have
been. I was just curious if there was eagle activity where there's water at the mouth of the river into the lake. But of course, the lake is where you are, probably pretty devoid of ice, few
it
ice
is.
Shelves.
Yeah, and when there was open water at the mouth, they were feeding. We did have some people say that there was eagles down there, but the mouth is not open right now. So I'm mostly seeing them in the smaller creeks coming up 61. And if we do have few road kills like around the park, I'll see them flying around there too.
Interesting. I think I wanted to add another bird interest that's been a growing population of the variety of four different species of woodpecker. For the first time since I've lived in the woods west of Two Harbors, we had the red-bellied woodpecker, and then we have more pileated woodpeckers than we've seen in decades. These are just anecdotal observations. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like the Audubon bird count. I would be very interested to know what the situation with the woodpecker count is there, because we're seeing about the same number of downy and hairy woodpeckers, but now we have a new species to our area, the red-bellied woodpecker and the pileated. And I live in woods that are in the midst of a great die-off due to the spruce budworm. And I think the insect population has to be a big draw for woodpeckers.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've seen some pileateds as well. I've been on the lookout as I travel up even more north for the three-toed woodpecker that I've never seen.
Oh.
But I've heard that people are sighting them a little bit more. I think because of this budworm activity, there's a lot more dead trees around. We have all the aging birch as well. That is amazing habitat for all these woodpeckers as well.
Yeah.
They're coming in to eat the grubs
also,
that take over.
They're also quite fond of the second story of an all-cedar house, unfortunately. And it makes me worry, what insects am I harboring in my house?
God, you have an ant colony in your walls.
Well, they're punching through just in case to see what they can see, Michaela. And it's definitely chipping away at the value of the house. So there might be some other people out there observing that too. So you haven't talked to extension people about how people could distract woodpeckers to go back and look at for their food in trees rather than in the house walls.
Yeah, I have heard that possibly hanging CDs that reflective
thing
kind of freaks them out.
Okay.
But other than that, I have not heard of any defense against woodpeckers.
I think you were citing the fact that the number of roadkill deer in particular is down. Any thoughts on the predator-prey dynamics with a low snowfall and kind of moderate temperature winter?
Well, I know
moderate to warm.
Yeah, I know the deer are doing great. They don't have high snowpack to worry about. They're also not congregating in these herds that we saw last year either. They're not coming to our bird feeders as often. I saw a doe today who had a big, chunky, saggy belly, still had fat reserves. I mean, they have, enough to eat. It doesn't seem like they're really, suffering from any winter effects, shall we say. So yeah, they can still outrun wolves in this type of snowpack. Yeah, I think that they're not really coming out to the roadways as much without the high snow. And that's why I'm seeing literally like 10% of what we saw last year in terms of roadkill this year for deer.
So this winter isn't posing much in the adversity index. The winter's severity index is going to be much lower. There are people who have perennially fed deer, and now I'm getting to a sensitive, somewhat controversial topic, but people who are feeding deer during a winter where they can make it on their own, isn't that pretty much attracting deer to all congregate and spread disease and other potential bad outcomes? I don't know if you'd comment.
Yeah, it's like you said, you're bringing them into an area where they could be passing diseases. They're also just going to do more damage locally to probably the yards. They're going to eat the corn that you feed them, but they're also going to nibble on people's hedge groves and stuff to get some of that fiber. Deer do not do well on corn. It can actually kill them. So, yeah, I just advise against feeding deer at all.
Just one other note is that I know of a couple of places near town where deer feeding causes a lot more road crossing than would ordinarily happen in a blind spot.
Yeah, you're bringing deer, you know, to an area that they would maybe go at a different time of the day. Maybe they would be more careful about it, but you're just throwing free food out there. So they're going to be taking chances that they wouldn't normally take to come get that motivational, you know, treat.
Well, away from the editorial controversies, Michaela, any exciting events that you'd like to point out?
Yeah.
We have some January left and we have a great month of February ahead, I hope.
Yeah.
I hope it's not a rainy February.
We have a lot of fun events coming up in February. So I'll start with what's going on at the Two Harbors Public Library. Friday, February 2nd, I have a youth program at 11 a.m. We're talking about animal migration. And then on Tuesday, February 6th, I have a community creations event. So this is actually like at night from 5 to 6:30. Then we have a really cool event happening February 11th. This is a Sunday, 1 to 3 p.m. And this is an event that we're partnering with BIPOC Outdoors. So this is a snowshoeing while BIPOC event. Anyone from the community can come, but of course we're encouraging BIPOC folks to come out. You can go to the Facebook group, BIPOC Outdoors Twin Ports, to find out more information about this event.
And what date was that again?
That is February 11th.
Thanks.
And then finally, we have our candlelight event at Gooseberry Falls State Park. This is on February 17th, and the party starts at 6 p.m., goes till 8 p.m. Even if there's no snow, we will be having this event, but you can come to the visitor center to get some treats and walk your way down to the Lady Slipper Lodge, where I will be with some naturalist activities inside the lodge. And then we have the big, beautiful bonfire out by the amphitheater with marshmallows and just a fun time.
It was fun last, I figure, rain or shine, probably. Mm-hmm. And if there's low snowpack, everybody can get around real easy. And it's just a beautiful scene that's created through illumination at dusk and later. You look forward to it. Do you possibly need some volunteer help?
I think we're getting close, but if there's people who are interested in takedown, that is our biggest thing. And, you know, the staff has already been working all day. So any help we could get for cleanup really, really helps getting all the luminaries put out, obviously.
After a very long day,
volunteers
would be much appreciated if you're somebody who stays up with some energy.
Yes.
Absolutely. Wonderful, Michaela. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the radio, unless you have any parting words, folks to keep in mind this winter.
No wisdom is coming to mind, but
no,
never trust the ice. That's my...
This winter,
yes,
in particular.
In particular.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never trust the ice, but we do trust you, Michaela, to come back in a couple of weeks, and we'll explore what the next unpredictable weather change brings us, okay?
All right. We'll talk then.
Bye now. That was Michaela Rice, Minnesota DNR. She's the naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park. This is Leo for KTWH, where you've been listening to Wandering Nature News.